Who the sun sets free.
Who the sun sets free.
Whosoever the sun sets free.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
Hi guys, welcome to the Free Indeed podcast. Today is going to be amazing. It's going to be really, really powerful because I have a very special dear friend of mine today as a guest. And I'll let her introduce herself.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Azuki Yaila. Yes, Joshua is my friend. He's dear to me. Okay, so
thank you so much for agreeing to do this, Azuki. I know.
My greatest honor.
There are a lot of people who are going to be free from what you share. I remember the first time we met and then you told me your story and everything. And from that time till now, like, you're two different people. Like, it's whenever I see you, even, I don't know if you've caught me in church, just looking at you sometimes. Just, like, I'm just so grateful to God because from where we started talking till now, like, there's a huge gulf of difference. And that can only be done by the Spirit of God. And I'm grateful to God for your life. I'm grateful for the people God has placed in your path that are going to free. Grateful for the ministry He's giving you. It's just going to be an amazing time. So let me not talk too much. People are here to hear you. So please.
Thank you, Joshua. Thank you. And thank God. Actually, when I look at my life from just a few months ago, not even up to a year, just like a few months ago, and I look at myself now and I put it side by side, I'm just like, this God knows how to blow your mind.
I'm telling you.
He just knows how to do great things. Okay. So, my story is this. From the age of 8 up till last year, I had been addicted to masturbation. And then from about the age of 16 up till last year, I had been addicted to, or I was addicted to, pornography. So it was that spanning about 12-13 years. That was quite a long time. But I struggled with it a lot, and I felt nothing can help me. Like, one of the major problems that I had was from the age of 8, nobody taught me anything, or I don't have any recollection of me watching or seeing anything in particular. You know, I feel like I just woke up one day and I just found myself masturbating. Do you understand? And I would just be like, God, when would this thing leave me? When would this thing leave me? Like, God, what's wrong with me? Why am I this way? And it controlled a lot of decisions and situations in my life. A lot of things that I would have done, I didn't do because I felt this thing has a hold on me. And if people knew who I really was or who I am deep down, like, they would judge me. Even talking about it, I had this feeling that people just say, hey, so nobody taught you, nothing happened to you, you weren't abused when you were young, you just thought of this evil thing in your mind. So that was one of the struggles. And 2019 December, I was abused right after NYSC. I was raped. I was trying to do connect. I was trying to get my PPA, and someone introduced me to an NYSC official. They're like, this guy can help you do this and all. So I just went ahead and I called the guy. I was like, because I didn't really know him. I was like, sir, I heard you can help me change my PPE and everything. And he was like, yes. Start coming to camp now. I was like, Esheo. Thank God. I was like, thank God you did it for me. So I put on my clothes, everything. I even carried 5K and I was doing, God, please let him not say it's too small. I don't have money. I'm just a copper. So I rushed down to NYSC camp. And then on getting there was this room that was in camp. We had passed there multiple times. I had never gone into the place. It seemed like an office because a lot of people used to be there a lot of times. A lot of girls also. So I just assumed it was an office. They had warned us, don't go to the officer's lodge. And I don't want to frog jump. And I assume nobody wants to frog jump too, so nobody should be going to the officer's lodge. So when I got to camp, that was where he took me to. And I was like, okay, yes, we're going to the changing office or the whatever office. Mm. And then immediately he just opened the door. I just saw bed. Hey! I was like, hey. In that instant, like in that moment, I was like, God, please, I do not have the strength for, I don't want anything to happen. No, I don't have the strength. Like, I could already see what was going to happen. You know now. Mm-hmm. Girls, you know when you are in a particular situation, you get you. So I was like, God, please. He's like, no, I should not be scared. I see because it's bed. I should just step in. And I stepped in. And he kept talking. He was just talking, beating around the bush. He said that the PPA thing, there was no light to do it. He'd have taken me to the computer lab, but he doesn't want his boss to know. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, please, God, please. And I sat on the bed. He started asking me some funny questions and stuff like that. He asked me how old I was. I was like, I'm 20. He was like, oh my God, you're so young. I was like, yes, I'm young. And I know. Then he started to touch me. And I was like, in my mind. So it's just like my body was freezing up slowly. And in my mind, I was like, if I'm so young, please stop touching me. Like, you know, I'm so young. So can you just stop doing this or whatever it is. And then I now told him that, okay, so see, just let me go. Like, let me leave this place. I don't want you to do this PPA for me. And all the things they had posted me to Gwagwalada. Mm. And I was like, hey, how will I be leaving mm-hmm. Area 1 to Gwagwalada? So I was really desperate. But I told him that, no, don't just do it for me. He was like, no, it's not like that. That I'm not understanding. That he will still do it for me. Blah, 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 blah. Long story, or to cut the story short, or to leave the painful part out of it. He raped me, basically. And I can remember vividly everything that happened. I remember feeling numb. Mm. And I remember saying, God, please let him just be done. And I remember begging him and saying please, or begging him. And then he kept saying that, don't worry, he will soon finish. Like all these things that you hear people say on social media, and you're like, what kind of animal is this? Mm. I met the animal that day. not an animal, he's still a human being, but still. He kept saying, let him, can I just finish? That let me just finish. Yes. And I just kept saying, God, please. And I remember wanting to cry so much because it just felt like my heart was breaking and I didn't have the strength. It was like, I wasn't there to shout, but I felt like if I opened my mouth, nothing was going to come out. Like, it was like my voice had disappeared and I just felt so hot. It was like I could feel my heart shattering at that point. And then I told myself, no, I'm not going to let this man see me cry. Never. I'm not going to cry. I have to be strong. Something just kept telling me, you have to be strong. You're a strong woman now. Do you get all this kind of stuff? And he was done. And I put on my clothes and I didn't even leave. I sat down there because this is like I was still in shock. He even gave me transport money to go home because he was like, you're so nice. Blah, blah, blah. My whole body was just irritated. And I remember not having any particular feeling. I didn't feel, after it happened, I didn't feel, I wanted to hate him. Mm. Or I felt like I should have some hate towards this man or something. Mm. I didn't feel any hate. I didn't feel anything. Mm. And then immediately he was done. Guess what? Mm. Lights came. Mm. And the PPA thing, he just did it. It was like 5 minutes. He just did it. He was even being so nice. Like, do you want to have your bath? And, hey, mm-hmm. My mind, I was like, please just open this door. Please just open this door. And then he stood up and he even kept holding me and telling me stuff. So and when did whatever. You lock the door? He, as I stepped in and mm. as I was talking to him, he stood up and went and locked the door. And it was an iron door. Mm. Oh, God. Anyway, so he went and stood up and opened the door. He went to have his bath and then he prayed.
I don't understand what kind of prayer.
He prayed. He was a Muslim, okay, so he prayed. It was prayer time or something. Okay. So he prayed. And I was like, this guy is praying. And I kept telling myself, why am I still sitting down here? Like, he has opened the door now, I can go. And then he just stopped and then I left. Immediately, I stepped out of that door. Hey! It was like a wind carried me because I ran to the gate of camp. I ran and I just took a bike and I was like, please just keep taking me to the junction anyways. And I got home and I had my bath and I just behaved like nothing happened.
Mm.
I just moved on with my life, or basically thought that I had moved on with my life. And the thing that or the implication of that was I just went back and dived deep back into masturbation and pornography. I just felt the worthless I felt before. This time it was like times two. And at this point, I felt like I even deserved to have this satisfaction. Like, this terrible thing had happened to me, so I deserve this satisfaction. So even when I wasn't sexually aroused, I would pick up my phone and I would just watch pornography. I just like to see the images. And after I do it, I'll keep my phone down and I would hate myself. Mainly because I liked what I was doing. And I knew it was wrong. And I knew I shouldn't have done it. And somehow I still just liked it. And I remember speaking to one of my friends about this abuse, and I'm like, I have to feel something. Like, I should feel, I was asking her, should I not feel something? And she was just quiet, because obviously, so you won't know how to respond. She's like, yeah, she understands. And I didn't just feel anything, and I hated myself for not hating this man. So the repercussion of everything that I was doing was me hating myself more and more and more and more. And I remember going through a YouTube video, and I saw a woman, and I think her name is Courtney Daniela, I'm not so sure, where she shared her struggle of how she was free from masturbation and pornography. And the thing about masturbation and pornography with women is a lot of people assume for some reason that they don't go through it, like it's just for men, which is a lie, because women still have sexual urges. It might not be as much as men, but they still do. And a lot of people don't know how to navigate it. And she said she was free, and I remember just being like, if somebody can do this, like if somebody can get free, like what's stopping me? And I heard something saying that 12 years, okay, then I think it was about 11 years, how will you be free from something? Maybe I only just 2 or 3 years, that kind of stuff. You get. Then fast forward to November 2019. I don't know, for some reason I was just like, I had to go to CCIC, that's Celebration Church International in Abuja, shout out to them. I was like, I just had to go there. Okay, before this, there were many times that I would cry on my bed and I would feel sorry. I remember one time in the kitchen, I even broke down. I was telling my sister, speaking to my sister, I was like, I'm not normal. She's like, you are the most normal person I know. Shout out to my senior sister. And I was like, I'm not normal. Like, people will see me and they will think, they will say how beautiful I was and how hardworking I was and how I brought joy. I remember how my mom would say, whenever she sees me, she thinks of the color yellow because I just bring so much sunlight. And I'm like, ha, sunlight. Like, inside me is dark. You people don't know.
Why did you feel like inside you is dark?
Because of all the things that I knew about myself. And I kept hearing all the way that was, now I realized that was the devil. The way the devil would tell me, like, you've been with this thing for 12 years, Jiget. You've been with it for 11 years. The devil was even telling me that that I cannot be in a, because I am a Christian. I come from a Christian home. And telling me that I cannot be in a Christian marriage because I'm definitely going to cheat on my husband. And the irony of things is men that usually cheat on people. But me, my husband will be faithful and cheat on my husband. And everything that the devil handed or spoke to me in my thoughts, everything that he handed to me on a platter of gold, I will just collect it and I will just keep it and I will just believe it. Just like that. I think about it now and I think about how helpless I used to feel. Like, only if I knew, only if I knew what I know now. Anyways, fast forward. My sister had been going to CCI. So I was like, this CCI, I've been here in the moon. Let me just go. And I went there and I was mind blown. And then they said they're going to have a reboot camp. And I was like, I will not miss this camp for anything.
Like, where were you mind blown?
Because the worship, the aura, the message, I can't remember exactly what they preached that day. But for some reason, I was like, this is what I should be listening to. This is what I should be listening to. When I was worshiping, it was like, I knew God loves me. Everybody, he said this in John 3:16. Like, I knew God loved me. But in that moment, it was like God was putting a particular atmosphere around me. He was like, I want you to see something. I want you to feel something. That feeling of hatred that you think you should feel, that's not what you're meant to feel. This is a glimpse of what I want you to feel, you get. So I was like, hey, glimpse, I feel this good. I'm coming back. And so I came for his boot camp, and I remember on Saturday we prayed for 4 hours. People of God, before then, I think I only prayed for 30 minutes. It's more than 4 hours.
More than 4 hours now. Started at
6, right?
Started at
6:30. Oh, we came by 6:30.
We came by 6:30. We started around 7. Uh-huh. Then we ended 2:30 thereabouts.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you didn't know that was happening.
So before, I had to pray for like 30 minutes and stuff like that. And the thing is, before I go to this, what happened at CCI, I used to be in, no, I used to, I'm still in the children's department. I've always known that I've always had a love for children. I remember someone saying, tweet like you've been kidnapped. And I tweeted, I hate children. I was like, ah, yes, you kidnapped this baby. Do you get? So I used to teach children. And I remember in the school I went to, we had a children's department. And I used to come every Sunday and teach the teenagers with all my heart. Because I felt like if I could at least pass across this message to them, maybe they will not go through what I'm going through. Do you get? Mind you, they taught me things in Sunday school, but I used to be so passionate about it because I was like, these children, they must learn, they must learn, they must learn. Do you get? So I've been in children's ministry and all, and that was another thing that I'm an example of someone who was active in church or who worked in church and still struggled a lot with a lot of things. Do you get? And when I wasn't teaching, when it was time to go to chapel, I would go to chapel, but we never listened. Sometimes I wouldn't even go to chapel. I would stop. Thank God, never. I'll stop chapel, do you get? But when it came to that children's ministry, I would teach it with all my heart. When it came to planning and everything, I would do it with all my heart. Because I was like, if I can, I just want to help these children. I just want to touch them or get them in a way that they wouldn't go through what I'm going through. That's how much...
I think what you were trying to do is... Because the difference was that you didn't have an alternative of truth to see that the devil was giving you life.
Yes.
So I think that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to... Yeah, this is the truth. So when the devil brings lies, you know that it's a lie. No,
the thing is, I wasn't even as knowledge, or I didn't even know it in the way you put it now. I didn't know it back then. I didn't know it like that about them. Then I was just like, it wasn't really about the children. It was about me. It was like damage control.
Okay.
You get okay, I've suffered for this thing, so let me save somebody else. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, what I'm really trying to do is, I was looking for a way to save myself. Mm-hmm. You get? Mm-hmm. Because it was, it became a big struggle, like physical struggle with my body.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I used to have voices in my head. The thing is, when people will upset me, or when I will feel upset, or when I was younger, I didn't know how to control my emotions. Just now that I'm learning all these emotions. When I was younger, obviously, if you cried, they'll still slap you, so you'll still stop crying. Yes, I didn't know how to control my emotions a lot. I used to cry a lot, and then my siblings or my mom would say like, don't cry. You know, everybody would say now, what's crying going to do for you? Yeah, just crying. So that's why I developed this mentality that I was so strong. And that's why when that rape was happening, I was like, no, I'm not going to cry. See, you're the strong woman now. You're a strong person. Everybody that sees me or everybody that knew me in school knew me as a aggressive, not really aggressive, but like, how would I put it? Strong is the word.
I only
do. Somebody called me a tigress. Honestly, then at that point, I felt like that was the best compliment I've ever heard.
Like, knowing you now, I cannot reconcile.
Yes, because I just used to bulldoze through life. I didn't want to stop to think. It was like, if I stopped and I was calm, it will make you come to my mind that, okay, see what you're doing behind people's backs. So, I was on fire, digressing and dozing through life and just going like that. Do you get? So I used to have voices in my head. Like, I could go, I didn't have a lot of friends in school because I had people in my head I was talking to. People who were nice to me, you get, and who would tell me, okay, you deserve this pleasure that you're giving to yourself and stuff like that. Or it's not really that bad. I mean, even your flow app is telling you, know yourself, or all this over on the internet or something like that. I remember ghosting my friends for 3 months, and people would be like, "You did not, you're not coming online." You get people called me. I was in like a depressive state at that point, but I had people, friends in my head that I was speaking to, who were advising me rubbish from the devil. Do you get? So I remember that during that prayer time, I was like, "Today, not today." They say we'll pray for a long hour, but they didn't say how long. It's like, I will pray. So I said, pray. And I was just praying. I was like, I will check. I won't check the time. I told them, I was like, just 20 minutes. And then I remember, let me just focus. Like, let me come here to do what I came here for. The day before, Pastor had preached about angels. And I was like, I slept and I didn't dream of any angels. So today, next day is all work for me. So I was praying. And I remember at the point, I was just crying my heart out. And I was like, God, please, I just want this thing to leave me. Everything was too much. I just want, just leave me. And I remember at the point, I was just there screaming, let me go, let me go. I was imagining how Jacob was saying that, how Jacob fought with the angel. And he was saying, he won't let him go until he blessed. I was like, see, God, I'm not leaving this place today until this thing leaves me. Do you get? And I remember screaming and feeling, I felt out on the floor and I was shaking and it felt like my soul was burning and there was so much fire on my body, but like I was still present. And I remember then Pastor K and Pastor Laju came and laid their hands on me. And
I remember clearly
what happened.
That, like, I remember that scene clearly because normally I like to participate in sessions like that. So I was about to go around and ask Pastor K, okay, no problem. Pastor K went and then Pastor Laju went, because normally I would dive in for guys, but for ladies, I'm really like, I'm careful. So, but since Pastor Laju went first and Pastor K went to assist, like, that's all. That's all.
That day, at that moment, I was like, God, please, just let it go. Like, I'm just so tired. I'm ready to do anything now just to feel normal, or just to feel, have that feeling that I had when I came to church. You get that that aura. I just want to feel it. You get, I just want to feel. I don't want to, I know I shouldn't feel this hatred that I'm clamoring for. I want to feel something. And do you know that after they laid their hands on me, it even took me a while because we continued praying, you know. After they laid their hands, I stood up and I continued praying. I thank God and continue praying, and we prayed, and to the glory of God, I prayed all the hours that we meant to pray for. Do you get? And later on, I just realized that no voice. Like, you know when they say sound, when they say God has not given us spirit of, people don't, when I used to say it before, I just say, God has not given us spirit of fear. That sound mind. Hey, what's the meaning of sound? I asked me. It was like my mind was just clear. Like there was nothing disturbing me. I was just, God. Like, anytime I think about it, like, I don't know how to explain it to people. It was just awesome. Like, God does know how to blow your mind. She's like, this is what I've been missing for years. Even in school, like doing lectures and all, I'll be listening to lectures. Thank God I didn't even feel. God, thank you, Jesus. Like doing in school, I'll be listening to lectures and then I'll also be listening to people in my head telling me things. I don't really know how to explain it. It wasn't like, it was like they were constantly there. Like I could just call, when they were not there talking to me, I could just call on them. They had names, so I gave them names. Like I could just call, let's name her Mary now. I could just call on Mary and they'll just start talking. Do you get? Like, and sometimes when I didn't want them to be there, they would still be there. So it was like really a big struggle. Just remember that I was just breathing and living normal. Like, wow, that was so amazing. And then, but the thing was, I was still having these strong sexual urges. That I had always had from when I was a child. I was still having these strong sexual urges, you know, still wanting to masturbate, still wanting to go into pornography. I think one or two times I still went ahead to do it, you get, even though I, at that point, I felt like, okay, I've been delivered of everything and and all. And the thing is, let's say you need a car and someone buys you a car. You have a car now, you've gotten what you need. But now you have to drive. So there was a part that I had to play in this deliverance. Yes, there was a part I had to play, you get, and just to gain knowledge about things because I didn't really know anything. And one day I was just on Instagram and then I saw Adasa's picture and then I saw that he tagged someone. So I just clicked. I was like, it's fine, baby. I've been seen in church everywhere. So I just clicked. I just saw Joshua Kesena's page and I just saw the bio. I almost shouted. I was like, I just saw free from, I can't remember, but I don't read the prefix.
Former sex masturbation porn addict.
I saw sex addict to freedom. You know now, the things that are worrying, you know, like I already saw the things that were worrying me, the guess, like, I was like, eh, somebody has the mind to put this in his bio. What? Hey, and I quickly went and checked and see he's even married and has a child. I was like, ah, God. I didn't think anything about it though. I just left. I was like, ah, I cannot go and talk. I cannot go and meet this person. Man. So I saw you in church and I was just watching. I was like, no, you're this guy. This guy. Because, investigation. Number one. This investigation. Oh, this is the wife. Her name is Ope. Okay. His name is Joshua. Okay. This is the baby. Everything. I was just, you know, getting my facts and everything. And I remember after church one day, I just saw you by the car talking or standing with your wife and all. And see, I was not the one that went to. It was like I was striding on air. And I went and I was just like, okay, I've been struggling with this. It's not my mouth that was moving. So like my mouth was moving, but I was not the one that was talking. Because never in my wildest, never would I ever have gone to go and just spill out air. People used to ask me, I had a friend who would ask me that, do you masturbate or have you watched porn? And I'll say, me, never. Mm. Obviously, me, a tigress like me, never. So I used to lie about it a lot. So I would never just have gone on my own. I know that it was the Holy Spirit then leading me. And I just said, just poured it out, everything. And she was like, oh, okay, no problem. Let me just get your number. Because I was expecting like a facial expression like, my time, you have come, let me help you now. You get that kind of stuff or something, or I have the solution to all your problems. You need more deliverance or something, you get. So he was like, okay, let me just get your number. Just so soft spoken and everything. I was like, hey, this guy does not really understand. Maybe he does not know. And obviously, the fact of how long will always come to play. Maybe he does not know that it has been with me for 12 years. Maybe he does not really know. You get that kind of stuff. And so he collected my number. We spoke and was like, okay, we'll come for... He calls the counseling, but me, I call it therapy. Because what he did for me. So he will come for therapy and all and everything. I was like, okay. First day I came. Hey!
Do you know, before you go on, the day you came to meet me, like, you wanted like to talk to me. Like, do you realize that you would want to come, you now go back? You were making the step to come and then you go back, making the step to come. Back. So, man, I wanted to now talk to you, but you didn't say I should wait. You didn't say I should wait. You didn't listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, because I know
I knew that. Right? So, the Holy Spirit said I should wait. So, I was seeing you trying to come and I was just
Are you serious?
I was coming down.
Strategy.
And then, but then, as you were talking to me, it's as if at any moment you run. At any moment. So, I was just trying to be so calm. So just, I just allowed it to happen. I'm actually glad you
I'm glad you did. Like, how will I go and do this thing now? How will I go? Because I'm a very strategic person. I write things down, you get, plan things, even though I can be very scattered at the same time. I don't know how that works, but take it like that. You get. So when it comes to planning, I have to plan the thing that I will say to you before. So I didn't plan it. I was like, just go. Should I go? You get. Remember the first therapy session, and I remember you went and dropped your wife and this thing, and so we're going to come back again. And I was like, hey, this is where I'll be finished. I'll be alone with a man in a house, just me and him. Hey, do you get? Mm-hmm. The thing is, after that abuse, I would always be so conscious of where I was, how many men are walking behind me, how many men are in this place. And it happened for so long. I remember even just quite recently, the devil was bringing it back to my mind. I was going to pick up shirts from a friend of mine, and it was raining and it was dark and night, and he was like, okay, let him go and drop me. And I didn't really have so much cash on me then, and I was about to say no, I will take boat, you get, or something, because even the boat, I will still be scared. But for the fact that I know this person, and I just feel like anything can happen. I'm still at the back, so I can quickly open the door and run away. But this one, I was sitting on the front, I was by my friend now and everything. And I was like, hey, no. But something just told me, that's not what we do anymore. That, like, those fears are gone, you get. Like, those fears are no more valid. I was like, oh, okay. I just told myself, this person will drop me in my house and nothing will happen.
How strong were the fears before?
Hey, okay, so I remember getting a new job and finding out that I was going to work with two men, and I'm going to be the only female in the office. I'm like, hey, and the thing about this job is God told me to take this job. Mm-hmm. So I was like, eh? So this time you want to finish me, God. You get, I was so scared. I would have anxiety and it started to affect my work. I would forget things because I was so quick to leave the office. I remember one time they came to work on something in the office, and about 10 men were in the office, and I just entered into my office, into my own office, mm-hmm. and I just closed the door. And I was like, God, I know you'll fight for me. If anything should happen, I feel like fire will come down. You get so much fear, even like hangouts or just the opportunities that I would. Things that I would normally have done, as far as I knew that there were going to be a lot of men, you get, I started getting receptive to human touch. I wouldn't want you to touch me yourself, even hug me. My gentle is always trying to hug me. You get, I don't want people to hug me as much. You get, if I'm going to hug someone and the guy is and the person is a guy, I'm already calculating in my head, okay, your body's going to get in contact with very complicated stuff. Oh, your body's going to get in contact with another man's body. Are you okay with that? You get, like, anything can happen, even in the open. I mean, what are the odds that a boat driver is going to stop on the highway and abuse me? Mm-hmm. But I will still be scared. Mm-hmm. I will still be scared. You get, even just it was a lot. It was draining mentally, physically. It was draining, honestly. And I still carry those, obviously. So it was first session of therapy and all. So, and then as we began to work, one of the burning questions I had on my mind was if God really loved me and if he was really there, like, if he's everywhere, why was he there during that abuse and he didn't do nothing? And I remember you explaining that God is not going to take anybody's free will from them. Like, God loves us so much that he's going to give, he has given everybody their free will. It's now us humans that abuse that, do you understand? Mm-hmm. And yes, God loves me and he could understand that I was going through a hard time or fire, basically. But sometimes, I remember you saying, like, sometimes you go through fire and you're not burnt. Like, things, bad things happen, and it is as a result of people in the world, you know, mm-hmm. the influence of the devil through people mm-hmm. in the world, do you understand? So it's really you know, talking about it now, and I can just breathe.
Yeah, like you, because I remember when we said we're going to talk about the abuse.
Let me just say something, guys. wait, JK said we're going to talk about the abuse every day, because we used to have sessions every Friday. So every day throughout that week, and I think we even had 2 weeks interval in between, I was getting to the office praying to God, God, please. God, please let me not speak about it. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I remember one time I was holding my stomach and trying to throw up and nothing was coming out. I was just panicked. I felt so hot. I still felt so hot, you get. And I just felt like, ah. But the thing is, now I remember, but after the abuse, I didn't remember all the details. Like, my brain just froze it out. Like, mm-hmm. this thing is too hot for you to think about, so don't think about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to remember everything that happens. And what if I can't handle it? What if I can't forgive? Like, mm-hmm. what if I don't feel okay after talking about it? Hey, the greatest miracle happened. I remember coming and speaking about it and crying, and I wouldn't tell I was going to cry my eyes out and fall on the floor and roll. I brought a pack of tissues.
Yes, she actually bought a pack of tissues, guys. Like, that's how
because
far.
Because I was like, today is the day that I'm dying, no. Like, so I remember speaking about it on Friday, and then on Saturday, I just realized that I was breathing easier. It was like the air that had been breathing before was so toxic, and so it was like it had been hurting me to breathe before. And the irony of this is, where I used to work before, we had air filters, so I was not breathing air, I was breathing filtered premium air. But like, do you get? And I was like, God, I didn't even know how much impact mm-hmm. this had on me. Mm-hmm. I remember also stress eating mm-hmm. the week before I was eating, because I was like, I'm drowning my sorrows in food. Food is going to make me happy. I need something to make me happy. Do you get? I remember God just speaking to me and saying that you're doing this because the world has like given you a projection. Or I remember he said, you're doing this because like, you are scared of losing weight and you're going to food because you're finding a comfort there. Mm. And the world has given you this projection of why I was scared of losing weight was people would see me and my body and how nice I looked and how endowed I was, and they would always compliment it, and I had taken validation from them. And I remember God speaking to me about it, and I was like, hey, I did not even realize how deep you get, like, just life, things that you go through in life affect you. I remember something that I learned listening to Andrew Womack's teachings, psychology versus Christianity. And I remember something that Andrew Womack said that shocked me. He said that psychology would teach you that your environment and situations that you go through determine who you are. And he said Christianity teaches you that the situations or your the environments that you are does not determine who you are. Your validation comes from God. Like, it is who God says you are that you are. Remember the passage I spoke about in Luke? I can't remember the exact verse. Luke and John, where it says, if you look intently, people that look intently at the world will begin to see. It's like looking at the world is like looking into a mirror. When you look intently, the more you look, the more you begin to see who you are in Christ. And I was like, so they have been lying to me all this while. Because I felt like, what if people really knew who I was deep down? What if they knew that, this girl was struggling with? In fact, it was not a struggle because I liked it. I was burning my data on it, my money on it. And every time I'm saying I don't have money, but I will buy data so that I could watch pornography. Do you get? Even I remember one time, I wanted to, this was back then in secondary school, I wanted to go for this Olympiad exam, a physics exam for domestic, for like smart people and stuff like that. And my teacher was like, come and write. And everything. I was like, I'm not writing. And he called my mom. And my mom was like, why are you not writing? This thing, you can get scholarship from me and everything and stuff like that. The even teacher even punished me on top of exam that they were begging me to write. Did you get? And I was like, these people don't know that who I am deep down. These people don't know that I struggle with this thing. And these people don't know that I'm not really that smart enough. These people don't know who I am. These people just don't know. They just see me outside and they just see my face. And they just think that, okay, and because I passed physics, does it mean I'm that smart? You get? And this is what those friends of mine were telling me.
So what the devil did was, he just painted a picture to you and told you this is the truth.
Yes.
And because you do not know who you are in Christ, you could not say this is a lie, this is who I am. That's the same thing of the verse you're talking about in James 1 22 to 25, talking about how be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Because someone who hears and doesn't do is like someone who looks at himself in the mirror and forgets
who they are.
Do you understand? But someone who looks steadfastly and does what he sees, that person will bless him when he does. That's what he's talking about. Like, the devil will bring like an image to you that this is who you are. Yes. But if you don't know who you are, you think it's like, okay, yeah, no problem. That
sell
is who
me
I am.
Ideologies, yeah. Sell me, like, and the thing is, because the person that said ignorance is the greatest disease, have you heard of the saying? The person was not lying.
Even the Bible says people die for lack of
knowledge. They die for lack of, and this thing, because I think about it now and be like, at a point I would have lost my mind. I'm so sure that I would have lost my mind. Because, it was a battle, Jiget. I'm thinking about it now, Jiget, and I'm like, I didn't know, if only I had known. Because anything the devil sold to me, I would just collect and keep, and I won't lock it with me. Like, okay, you know, this is what the devil has said about me, so therefore, this is how I am. And that is not true. God calls you a holy nation and a royal. I realized, I started reading Revelations, and I realized that God did not just, Pastor also preached about it. It's not like I just found it on my own. No. And Revelations 1, where John had just seen Jesus and Jesus was talking to him, and said that God calls us to be priests. Not only are you a son and a daughter of God, not only does God love you, he calls you to be a priest. And remember Pastor describing priests as people who take the petitions of other people to God. They represent the people to God and represent God to the people. Me, a whole priest. Me. And I'll be priestess. And I didn't know. Do you get? Like, I didn't know how. I started reading the Bible and seeing how Jesus didn't just, it was not just a plan that, okay, well, people have seen so much show and then just now coming in the New Testament. How in the Old Testament, Jesus had been spoken of, how intentional God was about me, how much He loved me, did you get? And I was like, hey, the devil really did cheat me.
Yeah, he did.
He did cheat me. If when I think about it, I'm so grateful for I'm so grateful for meeting you. I'm so grateful for God and how he just helped me in ways that I couldn't even have helped myself. Do you get? Like, I was literally drowning, and it was affecting everything I did. Everything, right from that Olympiad, right from as small, I think I was just in SS1. And I remember the other people that were writing, just looking at me. I eventually wrote the exam and I think I almost slept. Because I was like, okay, you will take a horse to the river, but you will not force the horse to drink. I was like, I'll do what I want. You get that kind of stuff. I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful about how God has helped me. I look at my life now. I look at how calm I can be. I look at how much I can control my own emotions. You get. I remember one thing that hurt me the most about the abuse was I was put in a helpless situation. There was nobody that could help me. Just like my body even betrayed me because I froze up. My voice was refusing to come out, and I was just. And I never ever wanted to be put in that situation. And guess what? The devil. You think? Okay. Let me not get ahead of myself. When God saves you. One thing I realized is when God saves you or when you realize or receive the life Christ has given you, never make the mistake of thinking that, okay, the devil is going to sleep.
Like he
will test your soul.
Yes.
The deepest parts, he will test it.
Like he gets reinforcement that time.
It's like he comes with an army. Because lately, I was put in a situation where I was helpless. Somebody was just shouting at me and treating me. I won't drag something from my hand. I remember I just broke down. And God said something very profound to me. He said, I didn't make you to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. No, no. I've given you certain assignments, things to do, but you're not to carry the whole weight. That's why I am here. Mm-hmm. That is why I gave you the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Come to me. When you're feeling down, when you feel these sexual urges that you think are so overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
come to me. And the thing is, the sexual urges were not as overwhelming before I receive, is after. Do you get? Do you get? When you're trying to avoid things, that's when you see the most. You get? That's when I started having men. All of a sudden, me that hadn't spoken to people throughout NYSC year and stuff, I started having men calling me, you know, meeting like 5 or 6 men in a week. And I'm like, is that your beauty change or what? Is there something on your face that you are not seeing? Do you get? The devil actually really tested me. And one thing that I just loved was, or one thing I not I loved it, and one thing that remained in my mind, especially from counseling, from what I learned in counseling, was Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. I know he was speaking to disciples, going into the world and preach, make disciples of all nations and everything. But there was one thing he said in the B part. He said, "And I will be with you always, till the end of the earth," which means you will die and God is still with you. Obviously, you're going to meet him. The earth can end and God is still there. Jesus will still be there. So, what's going to be worse than the earth ending?
Do you get?
What's going to be worse than the, like, literally nothing? There is nothing that you would go through. And when I just had that consciousness of God is with me all the time, like, even when I'm struggling, God is with me, you get. He's with me everywhere. He's in my mind. Another thing that was very profound was in that I learned was you have to attack and fight or get the devil. You don't need to fight. God has fought the battle that we have. Once you get the knowledge, that's all. You have to beat the devil at his game. Get him where he wants to get you. And he always gets you in your mind.
Yeah.
He'll come to your mind, creeping thoughts. You know, when you want to steal now, you know, just say, okay, as I'm going home, I'm going to go and find 8,000 naira. I'm going to go and take it. No. You will first pass somewhere and you'll say, ah, there's money on the floor. Then you'll say, okay. Then your needs will not come to up, you.
Yeah.
Say, okay. And you buy the time.
Person will understand. Yeah.
Person will understand that kind of stuff. Yet you not take it. So it doesn't just happen at once. And there's this scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And I like the way TPT put it. It says, for although we live in a natural realm. We do not wage a military campaign employing human weapons, mm-hmm. using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defense behind which people hide.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just quickly read KJV because, you know, now KJV is the one that everybody approves of. It's the popular one that we know that, and people always misuse the scripture for spiritual battle.
For
the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that is the thing. The thing is, I was putting what the devil was telling me, I was putting my addiction or my situation or my problem above the knowledge of God, the word of God. Is not the devil is not going to come to you in form of with horns and you run away. He'll come to you in things that you like. You get the things. I was looking for something to fill. I had a void in me, and I was looking for something to fill up that void. And masturbation and pornography just seemed like, come on, let's go. It brought me so much pleasure. And I would rather feel pleasure for 2 minutes than being miserable like for a long time. So if you come in your imaginations, and another miraculous thing that happens is prayer works. So prayer works.
A little shambala here, little shambala there.
I'm telling you, skabashi and skabashi. I remember after praying, and after saying, okay, now I've prayed and everything and all, I remember trying to imagine the things that I had watched in pornography. And guess what? I would just feel a veil cover over my eyes. It was like, it would try to come, but no, it wasn't coming. And that was so miraculous. So, that's just basically... This story is so long.
It's such an amazing story. I remember when we were trying to talk about forgiveness. That forgiveness of that guy. So, like, just touch on it.
I remember feeling sick at the fact that I would have to forgive that guy. And I was like, what if I can't do it? What if I can't? What if I try and I can't? And a lot of things that we do as Christians is we focus on the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We do not focus on the person who has provided the problem.
Mm.
One thing that I think it was Pastor or you said was if you put an iPhone here and if Steve Jobs was still alive and there was a fire in a room,
mm-hmm.
and there were 1,000 iPhones, who would they save?
Mm-hmm.
They will save the manufacturer of the iPhone, they will save Steve Jobs, obviously. They will save Steve Jobs. So that's the thing. We focus on the problem. I was like, oh God, I can't forgive. I'd already struggled with forgiveness in the past with different little issues here and there, And now this big thing, this thing seems so big. How will I forgive this person that hurts me so deeply?
Mm.
This person that, you know, contributed into me just losing myself. And throughout the course of the therapy and everything, I remember you saying that it's not by your power. Mm. Like, it's not you that is with. You have to understand that now you have received the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit in you, and you are conscious of it. So I remember praying about. That was one of the hardest things I had to do. Going and praying about it, and just saying that God, I've received your Spirit. Who I was before is not who I am now. And I know that whatever it is that I need to do, not just I want, whatever it is that I need, you would always be there to give me. You know what I need, and so if I need, obviously I did, and I need to forgive this person. God help me forgive this person. And I remember after a while, it didn't happen immediately. I remember after a while, just not feeling so resentful. I really wanted to hate this. I really wanted to hate this man with all my heart. I remember feeling not so resentful or not so bad, will I say, thinking about it. And another thing was in forgiveness, I started to think of all the bad things that could have resulted from that
scenario
that didn't happen. I remember saying, thank God I didn't get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I don't have HIV.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank God I don't have any incurable disease or something. Thank God, as I was running out of camp, I didn't run into a car and die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank God I actually found the found you.
Mm-hmm.
You get, because another thing that was so hard was, I remember after the abuse, I just went on like my life was okay, and one day I just went to pee and I just started peeing blood. Hey, it was like, God, maybe now is the time for you to take me home. Because I was like, God. And I immediately knew that it was probably a urinary tract infection. And I was a cop and I know how much were they paying? 18, 19, 8, I'll be anything. Just quickly went to go and tell my mom that, okay, that maybe it's because I used the toilet in camp and everything. And she's like, okay, just give me money, go and heal yourself and everything and all. And I remember somebody making a joke about it. I was saying that, so you started having sexual intercourse and stuff like that. And I was so upset. Because I was like, if only you knew why this thing is here, Jiggets. And it just stemmed up so many fears. Like, what if it blows up into a big thing? You get, like, what if I can't even have children? So many fears. It was really tough to forgive. So, thinking about it now on my own, up to now, I still wouldn't have been able to forgive this man. I felt like even when I came back to tell this story, I would still say I haven't forgiven this man. But no, that's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is now I can speak about it so freely. And I have forgiven him. Do you get?
That's one testament to the fact that I know you're forgiving, because talking about it, that it took how many days, how many weeks to just talk about, for us to talk about this thing. For you to talk about it freely now and so much detail and everything, like, I'm just really grateful to God for your life.
And I one thing I struggled with was, are there a lot of people, how many people have gone through what I have gone through? You get, like, there's this stereotype that I don't know where from. I know we're from the world. That women don't go through this kind of struggles. Women don't. I feel like maybe they feel like when you just get married, wedding night, God now say, okay, here's your sexual. Yeah, your sexual. You get, like, women, or even if they do have sexual urges, they know how to control. And it's a lie. A lot of people are struggling with masturbation. A lot of women are struggling with masturbation. A lot of women are struggling with pornography. They are dying inside. I remember Pastor Maiwa of CCI Abuja was preaching a while ago, and he was talking about five categories of people. And one category that he spoke about was the people who whose souls, who are sick but don't know they're sick. I know that's the worst kind of stage four cancer. Everything has scattered, everything, that's when you now know. Why are you telling me? Let me just die now. People whose souls are dying. But he used it in the context of people who work in church, people who work a lot, but deep down your soul is dying to get more. You're just putting energy into church. And I remember God, because before he started, he was like, pick yourself. I remember the Spirit of God telling me that, oh yeah, oh, catch your own soul, you get, because it can be so easy to not want to feel things or not want to face your problems and just pour yourself into other things, into work, into, and everybody's commending you and you are just feeling like a fraud. Do you get? You're just feeling like, no, this is not who I am, but I have to keep up this appearance and stuff like that. And sometimes you even need to take a break, and you can't because the devil will tell you, no, if you take a break, people will know who you really are. Do you get? I actually wish for anyone who is struggling with masturbation and who is struggling with pornography, especially women or girls, any teenager or even any. I remember God telling me when I was struggling to come here and speak about. I struggled to speak about this story. When I was struggling to come here and speak about this story, and I remember vividly the Holy Spirit asking, "What's going to happen to the next 8-year-old? What's going to happen to the next 8-year-old who just wakes up and finds their self masturbating with so much, who just picks up and find herself with this thing that they don't even know and they can't control, and who, as they grow up, think that it is of their own making. You know one thing Joshua told me that I always remember. I said, these thoughts are not your thoughts. And anytime I have terrible thoughts, I say, these thoughts are not my thoughts. No, I have the Spirit of God. I'm not capable. It's not my DNA.
It's not.
Last I checked, I was 100% a child of God.
Yeah.
You get. So these thoughts are not my thoughts. They might be presented to me. And the only way they can become mine is if I give access to them. If I open the door, somebody cannot come and, except the person is it evil. Even there's some burglaries, some armed robbers cannot enter. Yeah. You get. So someone cannot just come and knock on your door and say, knocked up, you to you, and I say, who is it? And I say, I want to kill you. And I say, okay, come and kill me. You're not really all right. You get. So, these thoughts that you're having, I just want you to know that they are not yours, and they only become yours when you accept them. Don't let the devil deceive you. The devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. People always focus on that kill. Destroy. Let me tell you what he will do. He will give you the means and the tools to use your own hands to destroy yourself. You use your hand and spoil yourself.
Yeah.
Do you get? So, I was just thinking, what's going to happen to the next person who is just casually strolling around in church, you know, and everybody's like, I remember someone going to, I've always worked with kids. Remember someone going to tell my mom specifically, your daughter is so hard working. You get, like, she really puts her all into this Christian, like, helping children in the course. Because it used to be vacation Bible school. Mm. Christian vacation Bible school and all. I was like, make it. Do you get? So, anyone who is struggling, you are free. You are free in Christ.
People who are, just pray over people who are listening and are being through what you're being through, or going through what you're going through, or even worse, just say a word of prayer over them.
Okay, all right. So, dear Heavenly Father, dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your gift of salvation. Thank you because for the knowledge or and for the medium to find the truth about who we are. Thank you for every single woman, girl, child, anyone, teenager, adult, anyone who is struggling with masturbation, who is struggling with pornography, anyone who is overwhelmed by all the issues of the world, anyone who is losing their mind, anyone who has voices in their head, we come before your throne of mercy today and we ask and we pray. We know that freedom is available for them. We know that you have already set them free.
Yes,
we pray, O Lord, that they come to the realization of this truth and they accept you in the name of Jesus. We pray and today we pull down every imagination, every ideology, every lie that the devil is selling to you. We pull it down from your mind in the name of Jesus. You are made free in Christ in the name of Jesus. You experience his love. You experience his joy. You experience sound mind in the name of Jesus. God has given you a spirit of sound mind, and so therefore you act according in the name of Jesus. Anyone who has voices in their head, I pray, O Lord, that they are set free. In the name of Jesus, they accept who Christ says they are. In the name of Jesus, you are made holy as you associate yourself with Christ. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, Lord,
because we know that there will be people who would reach out to me. We know that there will be people who will be scared. But we also know that the Spirit of God will give them confidence.
Amen.
Just like it felt like I was riding on waves, they too will ride on waves.
Amen.
We know that they will be overwhelmed with your love and you will push them to make the right decisions.
Amen.
Thank you because we know more and more people will come to meet Joshua and there will be people who will be scared. And it's at that moment that the devil would lie to them the most. We pray, oh Lord, that they will recognize your hand, that they will feel your spirit, they will feel your love, and they will make the right decisions. Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, God.
For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen. Wow, this is such an amazing session. Thank you so much, Ariki. I know people want to reach out to you. So can you just say your email address so that people can?
Okay, my email address is askyala@gmail.com. I actually prefer if you message me through my email because I'm an adult now, so I read my email.
I'll put your email in the description also.
Yes,
so
you can also reach out to me on IG.
Yes.
I don't have any pictures, but don't be scared. I'll soon post.
Love from birth underscore. Yo. So yes, guys, if you also want to reach out to me for counseling, you can reach out to me at freeindeedwithjosh@gmail.com. That's freeindeedwithjosh@gmail.com. It's going to be in the description also. And also remember that Who the Sun Sets Free is
free indeed. So another
sunset free. Free indeed. Thank you guys for listening. Have a lovely day.
Have a nice day. Bye.
Bye, guys.